Thank you for sending me Jesus. Happy Father's Day. God bless all of you dads out there. And welcome to episode 102, part 2, In Quietness and Confidence. Today is Sunday, June 21st, 2009. We love you, Dad. Thank you for joining us today. The month of June, the most beautiful month in the year. Absolutely gorgeous in Minnesota. Come to Minnesota. Well, you don't have to come to Minnesota to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue, located at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to visit us online, too, at www.pastorpaul.org. Did I say that right? Let me say it again. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to help support our urban mission operations. We need your support, so help us out. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, our store, where you can purchase our supplement, Protandem. Everybody should be taking Protandem. Twitter and YouTube. So be sure to go online, www.pastorpaul.org, and check out and join our online community. Also, when you go to the blog, you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. At the blog, you're going to find interactive links to the scriptures that are within Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to go there. Be sure to visit me at Hearts of Fire, the Janine Sherry podcast, coming soon. So thank you for joining me, and be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's message. There are two parts. The first part is on Friday evening. The second part is on Sunday. So have a great month, and we'll see you back here. God bless you.
Well, I never speak until the Spirit moves me. Isn't it funny? People always talk when they're real spiritual. They talk about, I wasn't moved. I didn't get a witness. The Spirit didn't witness to me. And then when another spirit moves them, they never mention, shut up! Now, they never mention that spirit. Of course, that's the wrong spirit. Did the Spirit move you to say that? But what spirit was it, sister? Huh? Oh, my. In verse 5, it says, I laid me down. Isn't that cute? Well, sometimes we have to lay ourselves down. Well, there is a prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. How many prayed that prayer? I prayed it, I didn't even know God, I knew it. Enough to pray that prayer, though. I laid me down and slept. Isn't that simple and to the point? I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Kept me alive overnight. But his faith, notice here, it says, lay down. I laid me down. He didn't lay down by any other means but by faith. It takes faith to lay down. Especially as we go on, we see his enemies were all around him, encompassed round about him. And his face said, lay down. Oh, okay, where'd that come from? Oh, he laid down. Did you ever have a voice speak to you like that? That's faith. Yeah, faith sometimes will keep you, tell you to don't say anything. And faith sometimes will say, lay down, go to sleep. See, faith speaks to you in these little things. Don't say anything. No retorts from you. Nothing. Quietness and confidence is the strength. That's where you're going to have your strength. Quiet. Be quiet. Don't lose all your strength by hollering and yelling and shouting, blaming everybody for your miserable life. Why is it miserable? Because you never laid down. See, anxiety would have kept him up on tiptoe waiting for the enemy to come, because it says in the Bible they were compassed round about him. And the Bible also says, I give sleep to my beloved. Oh, I know there's a sleeper presumption. Yes, of course. God delivers us from that kind of sleep. We just lay down and just hog out. Just lay down. Done with everything. I'm going to sleep. Some people can just sleep. I mean, that doesn't matter. I mean, a bomb could go off and they'd sleep right through the bomb. You know what I mean? The house, the roof blows off the house, the bomb, and the sirens are going off. They're saying, evacuate, evacuate. And they wake up. Oh, what happened? I thought I was dreaming. Really happened. Wow. That's a presumptuous sleep. And God deliver us from that type of sleep. Oh, yes, please, Lord. But then there is the sleep of holy confidence. God, help us to close our eyes. Thank you, Lord. I have confidence in you. I don't feel like going to sleep. I got all these enemies around about me. What do you have to say about that? In quietness and confidence is your strength. Lay down. Don't you tell your little babies that? Lay down now. Go to sleep. They have some kind of a dream or something. Lay down. It's all right. We're right here. We're right in the next room. Right in the next room. Then you tiptoe off and you get back to your bedroom. You look under your bed. No. Yeah. Huh? So that's why kids are scared a lot of times, what I'm trying to say. It was funny, but I was just really trying to make a point there. Because their parents are that way. They're always peeking under beds and locking doors and getting up four or five times to check the door. Did you lock the door? Yeah, I think I did. Well, why don't you go check it? And he goes down and checks it and comes back and, Did I lock it or did I just get... I was so mad when I went down there, I don't know if I locked it or not. Go back, check it again. Sometimes people even unlock them. They try it so many times. Did you know that? Try all the windows and try... Huh? And then they wonder why the kid is that way and they have no confidence in God. But David said he was awaked also. Isn't that beautiful? I was thinking about when the Lord says, we should just do things when the Lord says. There's a game. Do you ever play that Simple Simon Says? Simple Simon Says, stop. Or then they say, stop. And then they say, Simple Simon Says, put your arm up. And then, oops, Simple Simon didn't say to do that. Huh? Isn't that a bunch of simples? Boy, if they could put that to work for the Lord. Move! And then you move. Oh, the Lord didn't tell you to do that. You're out of the game. Ha, ha, ha. Isn't that right? Don't do nothing till you hear from me. Don't do anything until the Lord says. And there's a lot of voices that tell you to do things. Don't do them because the Lord didn't tell you to do it. Who you listen to? Simple Simon, or you listen to the Lord? A lot of times people tell you to do things that are just Simple Simon talking because they don't know that you're led by the Lord. The Lord's going to tell you what to do, and you don't move until the Lord says, move. And then after the Lord, after you hear that voice say, move, then the Lord says the Lord. How many are hearing this? Because there's all kinds of voices to get you to go off and get off on the wrong trails. And you get off on the wrong trail and you find out it was Simple Simon message and it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ at all. And then in verse 6, buckling up for the days of battle, our hero sort of seems to sing out, I will not be afraid of 10,000s. That's scriptural. Saul had thousands, but David had 10,000s. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Good night. I literally did that one night. I did. Seemed like I had a camp of enemies around. And the Lord told me to stop fussing and fretting and fuming and all that and walking up and down and stubbing my toes and all that. Go to bed. Sometimes when other people talk to you, it's the Lord speaking through them. Go to bed! It's the Lord. Will you go to sleep? I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. See, he doesn't underestimate the number of or the wisdom of his enemies. He knows that they are cruel, and he knows that they are ruthless, yet he doesn't tremble. He knows that God is able. He knows that if he's quiet and he gets together with God, he has confidence and he has confidale with God and glory to God. God speaks to him because he has a confidence and he trusts him because of past trials that he's taken him through and he's still breathing glory to God. And so he listens to the master and the master says, lay down. And his face says, I laid me down and slept. And I waked, for the Lord sustained me. He gave praises to God after he woke up. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. How many just think that's wonderful? I think it is. When you go to bed, you think, oh, I had such a good night's sleep. Thank you, Lord. My enemies were round about. The bill collectors were round about. Situations were round about. Nothing was turning out. God told me, go to sleep. Okay. Isaiah 30 and 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. And in quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing. All you got to be is willing. In repentance and rest, you shall be saved, and you shall be saved also out of your present trouble. Isn't that wonderful? Ooh, wow, I think that's great. Thank you, Jesus. How many think that's great? I do. In quietness and confidence shall be my strength. In God is my strength. Now we don't have to go it all by ourselves. We just link our littleness to God's bigness, and we hang on, and we put our little drop into the river, and out of our innermost being, we get into the full-growth stream. We start to grow in the grace and knowledge and the power of God in His growth flow stream. Yeah. We grow in the flow. You want to grow? Get in the flow. You want to grow in a particular ministry, you have to get into the flow of that particular... Now, this is missions ministry. And so, the only way you're going to grow in this ministry... Now, maybe you listening on the radio are not called to this ministry. Well, then you're called to somewhere else. But if you're in this particular ministry, you're not going to grow until you get into the flow of what's going on. How many know that's the truth? It really is. Until you get into the flow, the vital flowing, you'll never grow. I bet you feel a lot of growth since you got involved in going down there. Right? It's a growth. And coming down the breadline and things like that. You start to feel yourself to start to grow. Isn't that right, Dick? And you come down there and, you know, you dedicate that day. Right, John, back there? And when you get into the flow of things. Right? And you get into the flow of things and you start to grow. Right? And you get into the flow. That's when you start to grow. But you're in this particular ministry is a mission ministry, and you have to grow in that flow, that stream. Because if you don't grow in the flow of a particular ministry and you're sitting there, you're up a creek. And so we put our little drop into the river. The little boy who offered his 5 loaves and 2 fishes to Jesus Christ, he became then that vessel that fed the multitudes. And 2 and 5 is 7, by the way. He put his number down on God. He says, and God says, I'm going to multiply it. He says, here, God, I'm going to give you this number, 7. And God says, I'm going to multiply that. And they literally fed the multitudes off of that one lad's lunch. But when our faith doesn't work, what do we have to do? Well, sometimes our faith doesn't work. How many? No, sometimes your faith doesn't work. You know what you do when that doesn't work? Call on the repair person, God. Call on God. I have a power outage. Just like you call on NSP. Or Roy from Ready Kilowatt. Huh? You have to call on God. Call on, it says, the author and the finisher of our faith. He wrote the book. And he'll take you through the book and he'll say, well, here's where you went wrong. You're not wired for this big a thing over here. You're overloaded. You're overloaded, and that's why you got all nervous and upset. And you overloaded and you overtaxed the faith that you had. You went ahead. You start plugging in all this high voltage amperage stuff in the wall, whatever you use there, and you start plugging all this in. I hadn't called you to that yet. And so you blew it.
Oh Lord, I was so sure you called me to be a traveling evangelist and go to the, you know, Samoa, or go down here to the Africa, Lord. I bought the whole outfit, the little hat and the short pants. I got a whole case of bug spray and I was all ready to go.
God says, I didn't send you there. That's why you blew your fuse. You tried to be this great, huge manifestation of what you thought an evangelist was, and I didn't even call you to be one. I just told you to get down there in that mission and wash them dishes. Rattle them pots and pans. But you just had it all set in your mind what you were going to do. You're going to be a powerhouse for God with a little skinny wire that wouldn't, and you got all hot wired. You see how people burn out and they burn up? They try to do too much. And God hasn't called them to do all them things. They got this little skinny 110-volt wire there. And it's 110, and they plug it in this, you know, 220 circuit. And, of course, it doesn't last. They're not ready for that yet. Probably half of their board wasn't even made up for that, and they continue on blowing fuses all the time. Well, I think God needs bold characters for his faith messages, for his faith book. Because when you lose faith, God is the only one that can restore it. He can make you believe in yourself and in your own possibilities, whatever that they may be. And when you say, I just can't, then have faith in his faith. Invest in the kingdom of God. Deuteronomy 4:31 says, for the eternal will not let go. Isn't that great? For the eternal will not let go. And so you're all frazzled and you're all burnt and you got smoking tennis shoes and one little hair on your head. God isn't going to let go. You ain't much. You look like a complete burnout. How many at times in their walk feel like a complete burnout? Plugged into too big a thing. There you are, smoking tennis shoes and one little thread of a hair, and God will not let go, it says in Deuteronomy 4:31. Won't let go. See, faith isn't just one way you're holding on to God. Oh, I can't let go of God. I can't. It's God holding on to you. You can't get away. You can let go, but God doesn't let go. He's got an awful long arm. It can seem like you got away. You could run all the way to the other side of the world. You can go all the way to hell and back. God's there. No matter where you go, God's got a hold of that one little burn up here. Right? Isn't that wonderful? Nobody else loves you. You're a burnout. The Bible says we're kept by the power of God. You just plugged into too much of his power. Or you were ready for it. Now we can say what ought to be, can be, when we start to trust in the Lord. We start to pass up you and we start to meet God. Pass yourself up. Pass up yourself in the morning. Self gets up with you and, oh man, you're all grumpy. If anybody says anything, I'm just going to cut loose. Give me a bowl of total. Right? Total what? Be total hell eating breakfast with you, I'll tell you that. All right? You just sit there and eat your own total. I don't want nothing to do with you. Let's start to give all of our fears to God. Let him work it out in his chapter and in his book. Oh, we got so many fears. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul and he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, does that irritate your enemies? When God prepares a table for you, there you are, and all your enemies were there, and God comes up with a tablecloth and flaps it out like that and gives a little napkin over here and a little candle over here, the candle of the Lord, and gives you all these little niceties and gives you a little feast out there. And all your enemies are watching.
What's going on? What's going on? I don't like this. I don't like it.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Right? You just be quiet. You'll have God's strength. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. Oh, now they're really steaming. God anoints you, Pastor. Are you hearing on this on the radio? And people just don't like it.
What are you anointing him for, or her for, or them for? Wow.
My cup overflows. And now they're really on the rampage. You shout that out for joy. My cup is overflowing. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. Isn't that great? Lord's going to take you where it's real quiet and real beautiful. I think that's so great. Still waters. Oh. And let's turn here to 1 John 4 and 17. By this love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence. Listen to this. By this love is perfected with us. God is with you. That we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. And so if we go for anything, we have to go for love if you want to be perfected. And we love because it says he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Now I'm going to close with this. When we clear out our heart of all the fears and all the troubles and thoughts by giving them to God, we now then turn and have an inward time and an inward heart ready to deal with the problems at hand. And I believe health then comes, and you start to feel health in all of your body, because healthy is the person that's active. That's like I went into this watch shop and I seen all these watches and clocks. It was a huge shop and they were all ticky, tick, 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 and all the little ticks and all the clocky clocks and all the clanky clanks. And all of the things were going. All the watches. You know why they were going? I said, why do you have all these going and they're all wound? He says, they all need activity. They're all being watched, all these watches. Wow. We are God timepieces. Did you know that? We are being watched. Are your hands active? Huh? Is your face clear? Or are you in a drawer gathering dust? Or are you in a showcase and not running and people are saying, ooh, ah. Are you ticked off or are you a TikTok? Is your calendar up to date or is it still yesterday or tomorrow? Is your alarm set? Is your band too tight or is it a flexible? Are you overwhelmed so that you're bound? Time marches on. And so we don't get stepped on. We have to be active ourselves. Time is running out. We must learn how to be passive before God, but active before man. Take in from God and give out to man. Take in from God and give out to man. Take in and give out. Two heartbeats. Passive, active. Passive, active. Passive, active. Submit to God, and only then will He show you how to submit to the authority under Him. So many people have a problem with that. If they don't submit to God, they don't submit to the authority under them, they haven't submitted to God. Did you know that? If we cannot submit to the authority down here, we haven't submitted to God up there. Because first of all, you have to submit yourself to God before you can submit yourself to any kind of authority. And so a lot of times we find we have not submitted ourselves to God because we will not submit to any kind of authority. We'll make up every excuse there is not to get under that authority. But if you do, you'll be new and creative and exciting. God says, I can use you now. Can you give me another 5 minutes? How many? Put your hands up. You got another 5 minutes here. Philippians 2 and 12 and 13. For then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work out His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Wow. Let me say this now, and I'll just make it quick. Lift up your foot in your mind and look at your enemy. Your enemy is half dead. You got to work the other part out. He's a defeated foe, but now you have to believe it, and you have to lift up your foot, and you have to look down at your defeated foe, the enemy. Don't feel sorry for him. That old bad bat, step on his neck. That old high blood pressure, step on it. I'm broke, step on it. That old, I'm going to get a divorce, step on it. That old, I've got a right to be mad, step on it. That old resentment, step on it. That old, I can't do it, jump on the devil's neck. God's got him down. God has got him ready. Keep the devil under your foot. Let your children then take on responsibilities. But they're so little. Let them take on responsibilities. Show them. They'll look. They'll know. They'll take and they'll throw something on purpose. And then they'll look at you. And they're waiting for the command. Oh, I wonder if this parent is going to give the command to pick this up. You don't give the command, so they take everything out of the cupboards. And you can almost hear an orchestra playing. Da, 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 and the pans and everything are all over, and the parent doesn't do their job. Teach your children in the ways of the Lord. Passive before the parent, active before man. They listen to the parent. Pick that up. You know better than that, Johnny. There, that's a good boy. I knew you knew better than that, didn't you? Huh? Sure you did. Well, I guess she's a pretty good parent. She knew. The kids know. They know. They know when they run out in the street, they know they're going to get shook up. Right? They know it. They're waiting for it, begging for it. I ran out in the street. Am I going to get it? I am going to get it. That happened. I used to get those kids and I'd say, don't run in the street. And out they would go. They'd look back. Debbie and Cheryl, they'd look back at me. Beep! Oh! I tell you not to go out in the street? Uh-huh. Well, why'd you go out in the street? I don't know. Now you're going to know why you went out in the street, because you were naughty. And I'm giving you a spanking because I don't want you to get run over, okay? And then they were good for 3 or 4 minutes. Till I turned my back. Isn't that the way we are? We think God turns his back and we can run out in the street. Oh, he won't see me. He must be, he's busy with all them real heavy sinners over there. Them drug addicts sure keep him busy and all them other folks. Hey, go over there and just get into a bunch of junk. Get meaner than hell itself. God sees you, and every time we do that, we suffer the consequences. I know. I run out in the street a whole lot of times. But lastly, don't fear the future, and thank God for the unknown future. Because God is merciful, and he'll only lift the curtain on one day at a time. Wouldn't that be awful if there was an accident and curtain number, out of a year, curtain number 359 came up, and it was only here at curtain two, and you hadn't gone through the stages of growth yet, and that curtain went up. Whoop! Ah! God's merciful. He only gives you one day at a time. Don't try to peek into the future, and don't go to an old crystal ball. And now they even got this jerk on TV, and she has this, what's her name? She has this dial number. Dial your, Dixon. Dial your horoscope. As if she was going to be on the other end of the phone. She's sleeping. In fact, it's 2 hours earlier out in California. Wherever she is, it might be midnight. Maybe she's all over. Isn't that from hell itself? Dial, and you dial up and they say, today is not your day. Today is the day to beware. Don't venture out of your house. Don't take one step out. Go back to bed, bolt all the doors. Don't answer the phone. This is one day you don't want to venture into. Click. Brrr. Even if I was inclined to call, I'd be fearful enough not to do it. Now, isn't that stupid? And I bet there'll be some Christians go, I just want to see what it's all about. Do not venture into the day. Oh! 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 So then they crack their Bible open, see what God says. And he says, don't mix with these sorcerers. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about tomorrow, for today has as much evil as you can take care of all by itself. And as we gain strength to meet tomorrow, the curtain then will go up and the sun will reveal that day.
Did you have an awful day, did you, Bucky boy? Did you? Listening on the radio, did you? Well, tomorrow could be worse. But God's got it in hand. Worse for your flesh, that is. For your flesh. Isaiah 46 and verse 4 says, "Even to your old age I shall be the same. And even to your graying years I shall bear you. I have done it, and I shall carry you, and I shall bear you, and I shall deliver you." Ooh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. "Even to your old age I shall be the same. Even to the graying of your years I shall bear you. I have done it. And I shall carry you, and I shall bear you, and I shall deliver you." Wow! Isn't that wonderful? Don't even fear death. You fear death and you'll rot right now, right on the vine. Don't doubt the future, you'll doubt the present. Remember, the author and finisher of our faith says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die." And so we as Christians have an alternative to death, immortality. We live to die and we die to live. Hebrews 2 and 14 and 15 says, "Since then the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver them who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives." Oh, what a joy to lose that fear of death. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that we all things we give thanks for. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Thank you, Lord, that in quietness and in confidence is our strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what's coming up. Thank you, Lord. Let me be a fit soldier to say, "Yes, aye, aye." Huh? Send me, Lord. Even though my enemies are compassed round about me, I'll just be quiet and listen to your voice. And when you tell me what to do, lay down. Oh, yes, lay down. That's what I'm going to do. Now I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to gain confidence by listening to that small voice within that says, "Lay down and take your rest, for tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. Don't worry about it. Let the future get up and cheer you before it even gets there, because they know that you are a man or a woman of faith that's praising God for all the past hours and saying, 'God, they brought me to the present, and you have been with me. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, past, present, and future.'" And we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, right now. We just lift our arms up and we praise the Lord. Say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." Lord, we just want to thank you for this audience that's here tonight. I thank you for each person that's here. We thank you for the radio audience. We thank you for people out there. We thank you for the deliverance that's out there. And Lord, we just ask right now that if there's someone out there that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior, that they will gain right now by saying yes to the Lord. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? You can have him tonight. And you can know that quietness. And you can have that confidence. Confideo. You can have it with God. And it's great. It's a great gift from God. Just think about it right now. Think about it right now that God right now is your consolation. I was talking to a guy today. I says, "Hey," he says, he came into me and he was looking for consolation. I says, "I cannot console you. Your consolation comes from Jesus Christ."
Well, what do you mean? I says, well, here's the consolation prize. You're going towards the mark, the high calling in Christ, the prize, the race. Jesus is, I want to minister on someday. The Lord has shown me on that. The consolation is that Jesus died on the cross for you, bore all your sins. Yeah, but this happened, that happened. I said, well, what happened has nothing to do with what's already happened in God. Your confidence is in God. And not only that, right now, Jesus has done it all for you. That's the consolation. But I need consoling. I can't console you. I can take you to the consoler. What, shouldn't my girlfriend, my wife, shouldn't she console me? And no. I said, she can't do that. But how about, well, I got this friend that's real good. I come in here, I thought you could do it. I said, I can't do it. Your consolation is in Jesus Christ. But what can he do? I says, he's already done it. He laid his life down for you. Died so that you could have eternal life. And these things, he said, that you see me do, you will do, and even greater things you will do. And what's the greatest thing that Jesus ever did? He laid down his life for a friend. Will you do that? Will you do even a greater thing than he does? But I need consoling. Your consolation, man, I'm trying to tell you. If there be any consolation, it says. Jesus Christ is your consolation here tonight. Not a friend, not a husband, not a wife, not a preacher, nothing. Your consolation is that Jesus Christ has already done the job. It's a finished work. And isn't it great that it goes on into eternal and that we're going towards the high mark, the calling in Christ? The consolation prize is Jesus. Our counseling and our counselor consoles us in the fact that we've already won. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Doesn't that take care of the past? And doesn't that take care of the present? And doesn't that take care of the future? When you run into people that they just won't listen. They just won't listen. They just won't listen. Yep, they won't. They won't. Your consolation is in God. Not in whether this person changes or not, or comes along your way, because it might not be God's way. And happy is a man that listens to the Lord. A lot of times you can be going the wrong way by trying to change. And you girls, you all have a mother's instinct. You listening on the radio, you have a mother's instinct to change this little boy. But he's 37, 47. He can't console you. He can barely get up on his own power. Still has to call mother every night to sing a lullaby to him before he can go to bed. You think I'm talking to you? You're right. I am talking to you. On the radio. Your consolation is in Jesus. And everybody's looking for consolation. I need consoling. Would you console me? Isn't that true? Everybody's looking to be consoled. Can you console me? No, I can't. I'm sorry. You belong to God. But can you put your arms around me? Yeah, I'll put my arms around you. Now we're just two people looking at Jesus, looking for consoling. Well, get a whole group of people and just be one great big mob of hugging, a lump of hugs. And you'd all have to go to Jesus for consolation. He's the only one that can console your soul. Make it at peace and quietness. He's the only one that can do it above, aboard, betwixt, between, benigh, under, around, within, and without. He's the only one that can do it. And I know that because I've sought consolation everywhere. I'm going to go for the prize. Oh, this will... consolation, and I think I'll do this. This will console my soul. I'll do this good work, and I'll go over here and hi, and I'm always for this person, that person, and then try to get that good feeling. It only comes from God. It doesn't come from hubby. God won't allow it to come from hubby because he can't do it. He's not structured that way. He isn't. He's too busy with himself. Did you know that? Isn't that right? And you husbands that are looking for consoling from your wife.
I don't care what mother image she strikes, even if she's got an apron on and a bun in the back of her head. She can't do it. Consolation comes from the Lord. I don't care what trial you've been through or what tribulation you've been through, you're only going to get consoled by Jesus. Past, present, and future. That's your consolation. That's your quietness, and that's your strength, and that's your confidence that God has already done it. Praise and glory be to His name. Thank you, Jesus. So if you're